I'm Karen, I'm an addict. I hope my mouth doesn't dry up, I'm so nervous. I normally look forward to coming to meetings, but I've got to be honest, I certainly didn't tonight. The chairs don't seem to get easier for me, and I've wondered why that is, because a lot of people I know say they love doing chairs and they feel really great after. And I don't. I feel, after I've done a chair, I feel exposed, and I feel full of guilt and shame and self-hatred, because I was talking about how I used to be. And I think possibly I'm not actually supposed to still be feeling that guilt and shame and self-hatred because of what I used to be like before I found NA and before I found what this program had to offer. But I do still feel that, and they say that the steps work in us sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly, and with a mixture, with me, it's a mixture of they're working in me slowly, but I've also worked them slowly as well, and I did put other things in their way as well, in front of them. And when I came into recovery, when the obsession to use left me after about a year, I swapped it with an obsession for something else and a person, and that really gave me a lot of pain in recovery. And I did the steps, I did go through the steps, but what I found is that each step, it really sort of, the effect of the step or what the step was supposed to do for me to heal me didn't actually work until quite a long time after I'd actually finished that step. It wasn't as though I just did it and then I got the benefit of it. And I can say really only over the last 6 months, I've turned a corner, and I really mean I've turned a corner, and it's great. And some people probably had this a lot earlier. They might have had it, you know, when they were only 2 years clean or 3 years or 1 year, whatever, but I've got it now. And it's been my path. It's been slow. But it's not, as I started off saying, I've still got this guilt and shame, and I know why, or I think I know why. I don't really, not sure of the answer to anything, but in my opinion, I've still got that because I still have amends to make. And when I say I've been through the steps, I have, but I haven't made all my amends, and I've got two left, and they're the ones that are causing me this pain and shame. And so I will actually, I normally talk about this stuff, what I used to be like. I'll touch on it a bit, but I won't touch on it too much because I feel really quite raw after, and I don't really think that's necessary. I've probably got other stuff I can say, but yeah, so stuff has really changed for me recently. And I, about 4 or 5 months ago, I went on holiday with a friend, and we did another step three. We went into the mountains, and there was this monastery built into the mountainside with these monks' cells in it, and we went in there and got down on our hands and knees and did step three again. And before, all through my recovery, in certain areas of my life, I've had God in my life since I came into recovery, since I started doing the steps. I had to go and seek him. My sponsor, when I was doing step three, basically just said, all she said to me was, do God things. And I thought, thanks, great, that's a great help. So I thought, what the bloody hell do I do? So I went to church, that's all I could think of. And I remember I was sitting in the church, and there was this old couple at the front of the church, and they must have been about 80, and they were holding each other's hands. And I thought, my God, what's one of them going to do when the other one dies? You know, they've probably been together all their life. And this was really an early recovery. And I thought, I know, that's why they're here in church. They'll be okay because they've got God in their life. And that was the start of me having God in my life, because I'd been an addict since I first started using, which I don't know, it was possibly 11 when I started using glue. It might have been 13, I don't know. It was 11 or 13. And I forget what I was saying. Yes, I'd been an addict, but my sort of really, and I'd kind of gone, I'd straightened out a bit, but I wasn't really straight. I thought I was, but my boyfriend died of this illness, my partner, and we'd been together a long time, really, most of my adult life, and I couldn't cope, and I picked up, soon when he died, in fact, yeah, when he died, I went to the off-licence and I picked up a drink, and I basically didn't stop using non-stop for 2 years until I came into recovery, but I had basically been using every day since I was 13 anyway, but I kind of had a period when I was with Bob where I thought I was okay. I was just using alcohol and methadone. So I was never really straight, but I was kind of, you know, I was going to work and everything and, you know, living this kind of double life. But my boyfriend he was losing it. You know, he was 10 years older than me. More, the illness had progressed more. He'd been using since he was young, I'm actually really, really trying with these steps at the moment. I've got no, as I said, I'm free of obsessions of all kinds, and it's great. I've got this mind which is free, and I'm really trying with the steps, and I've realised for the past few years, went through the steps a few years ago, and I just stopped. I didn't carry on with the 10, 11 and 12, only bits of it. I've never stopped praying, but the bit I didn't do was the inventory and the meditation, and really it's a 12-step programme, and I've thought, well, you know, I want more of what this program's got to offer. So 5 weeks ago on Monday, I started to do an inventory. And up until then, why I haven't been doing it is because I've actually, I've had my defects of sloth and laziness have actually been masquerading as tiredness. And I've been saying, I'm too tired to do an inventory before I go to bed. You know, I've had a hard day, blah, you know, so has everyone else in the world, for heaven's sake. But so I realised that, you know, if I don't do it now, I'm always going to be this tired before I go to bed. So start, and I did, and I've done it every single day for 5 weeks on Monday, and I can't tell you what I've begun to see, and this is what's led me to see that I've got I've got to go back and do these amends. And honestly, what I'm seeing in this inventory, it's just fantastic. It is not, because it's some stuff I'm seeing is not great, but I'm seeing it, and you know, I can improve on it or act on it, hopefully, you know. So I've been doing that. And the other thing which I've never really done, I've tried it, but I sort of used to give up after about two or three attempts, is this meditation. And so I have to say, all my time in recovery, I've been running non-stop, never in, I never sit still. If I'm in, it's moving about, doing stuff, telly on, and I don't do any of this meditation and sitting, you know, thinking about what should I be doing, you know, what can I do, you know, for my family, for other people, etc. I've really started to try and remedy that, and I've actually decided I need to cut one meeting out a week at least, because I do need to. Things have started to get. I'm neglecting stuff at home and stuff in my personal life, because I've just got too much to do, and so I've said, right, I've got to cut a meeting out, at least one meeting. Not too many, you know, I still need to do two or three a week. So anyway, I've had some nights in, and the main thing is I haven't put the TV on. This is the crucial thing, is I've not got in and put that TV on. And I've got in and I've gone and bought some meditation tapes, and I've put those on, and because I've tried this meditation. I mean, one of these that I got the other night, I just went over Waitrose and picked up this $5.99 thing called meditation, blah, blah, whatever, and stuck this on and started listening to it while I was doing the hoovering. But I tried again the next night when it didn't need hoovering. And anyway, it says imagine you're in a canoe and, you know, there's all this like waterfall music and all. You can, you know, imagine what they're saying if ever you've heard of any of these tapes. And anyway, so you get, you know, your minds are supposed to be there. And then it says, imagine this clearing, and you pull your canoe into this clearing. And you go onto the land, and beyond this clearing is your sanctuary. And like my head's going, I don't want to go beyond that clearing. Like, you know, my sanctuary is much more of a like busy city with like loads of shops in it. I don't want to go there, thanks. I'm being quite serious because I've actually tried this before, where you're supposed to go. If you read I've been through the steps with the other literature from the other fellowship, and the 12 by 12, it says, imagine you're in some, I can't remember, but you've got to be somewhere nice, like in a mountain or in a forest full of, in a field, a meadow with daisies and you know, floating with like long sort of, you know, flimsy dresses. And that's, I think, what they're trying to tell you where you've got to be to meditate. And it does not work for me at all. So anyway, I think I found something that works, and I've been downloading all this meditation music, loads of different types. I've got Tibetan bells, I've got choir music from the coronation of Richard the such and such in 1600 and blah, blah. But seriously, some of this music, it's really, and I'm in the bath and I've got the candles, and this is really doing it for me. And I'm actually really, I know what this meditation is now, because you can't just, you know, I pray and I pray every day to God, show me what your will is, God, and give me the power to carry it out. But I've been doing that, you know, really, what is the point? Because I don't spend the time to sit down and listen to his answer to what his will is for me, and how he's going to give me the power to carry it out. So basically, there's no point in me bloody asking him if I don't listen. So I'm really, really want to get into this meditation, and mine's going to be through music, not these floaty fields and stuff. And so I'm really pleased, and this is all new stuff for me, and I hope I keep it up because it's been really beneficial. But this tape last night, I was listening to the canoe one. It said, oh no, it wasn't the canoe one, it was a different one. It said, take yourself back 10 years, and I did actually. And 10 years ago, it was just horrendous. We were just, my boyfriend and I, our flat had been involved, our flat caught fire, and it was awful, and our cats died. Well, one cat died, and the other cat has never been the same since. My mum looks after him now. And it was awful, and Bob nearly died trying to, because he got out of the, he escaped out of the fire. I wasn't there at the time, but he went back because, these cats were like our children, really. And he went back to save one of the cats and nearly died through smoke inhalation. And the hospital, because I was out, and when it got back, it was in hospital, and they said, he's not going to make it. I doubt whether he'll pull through the night. And he did, but I really blamed him for killing our cats. And and basically we were homeless, and you know, it was really horrible. No clothes, no nothing, possessions, and it was really horrible. And then anyway, I blamed him for killing our cats. And 9 months later, he died anyway from this illness. And he didn't find these rooms, and that's where I was 10 years ago. In my boyfriend lost my partner from this illness, and really, you know, I mean, when I look back to 10 years ago, my mind is kind of full of contradictions. Really, I have some memories of for example, normal everyday life, and one memory that always comes back is peace. I did get this peace because of the drugs. I did have peace of mind, you know, throughout a lot of it. And I'd be going out to hang the washing up in the garden, and the birds would be singing, and my cats would be playing on the grass, and they'd be jumping up in the air, playing with butterflies. And that's this illness. That's what it says to me. Oh, that's what it was like when you were using. It gives me these images like that. And then, like that night, for example, it was mad. Police knocking on my door. My flat would be searched by the Prevention of Terrorism police without a warrant, not because my boyfriend wasn't anything to do with that. He was a really, really nice guy. But his using was a lot kind of, he used different stuff to me, the stuff that makes you go paranoid and psychotic. And he drove one day, I don't know, he just had this paranoia for example, what it was like, we'd have a car, and the car would just like disappear, and it wasn't like an old £50 banger, fairly decent car, and like in a normal life you'd say, Bob, what's happened to the car? And I wouldn't even bother to ask. And sort of like 2 months later I said, Bob, why haven't we got a car anymore? And he'd say, it was blown up in a controlled explosion at Aldershot Barracks when I drove down the road the wrong way. And I'd say, oh. So it was, I actually don't know what my life, it was just full of contradictions. But I don't want to go back to that person that I used to be, because I didn't, you know, I really don't, because the drugs made me not feel, and I couldn't feel for other people, and Bob was really dying, and I couldn't see it because of my drug use, and because, you know, he was getting up in the morning and his legs would be swollen, and you know, like a normal person would say, oh, Bob, I think, you know, you should stop drinking, but I didn't used to say that, and he'd go in hospital because I didn't even know what he was going in hospital for. And I wouldn't even ask him. He'd just go, and I'd go in, and he'd be like, have a drip connected up to drips because he was dying. But I didn't know. I did not know he was dying, and that's what the drugs did to me. I mean, and I don't ever want to be that person again that can't see what's going on in their life around them. So, you know, I'm really, really glad that these steps are working, and I'm really glad for what these steps are giving me, and I'm there for my family. I had last year was a bit tough. I have had really a few people in my life, and they all kind of disappeared. My relationship finished, and my two best friends emigrated, and they were the three people really that I've had, that I've confided in, and they've been like my sponsor if I haven't had a sponsor. And all of a sudden I had no one, and I've had to try and kind of start building relationships up again with people, and I find it really hard. And sometimes I think, oh, I can't be bothered, really. I can't be bothered. You know, I'll just stay on my own, but I don't really think, you know, I'm not going to do that. But and I thought, actually, you know, this, I'm going to try and get some more people, new people in my life, but this time I'm going to get normal people. And but I actually have discovered I can't actually find any. So I'm going to have to settle for second best. And a couple of years ago I went through the same thing with my friends. I thought, I'm going to have to let go of certain people that cause me, you know, I can't be around these people that cause me stress. You know, I've got to drop these people that cause me stress. And again, like, I found I was completely on my own again. So I had to, you know, that's something wrong with me there somewhere, probably. But anyway, I really love NA, and I love all the people here. And And if it's not working for you yet, it didn't work for me for a long time, but stick at it. It does work slowly or quickly. You know, it takes a different amount of time for everyone. And just stick with it, because it's worth it. Thanks.